affecting your relations with people. You recognize that you are exceptionally talented and highly creative. This awareness...
of the Misfits. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 Hudson.
Honey, did you know the Rolif Jansen Community Library serves Ankrum, Copake, and Hillsdale?
As a matter of fact, I did know that. Ask me another.
Did you know that the Rojan Library has thousands of books, audiobooks, DVDs, and music CDs you can enjoy for free?
Yep, I knew that too.
Did you know that the Rojan Library puts on dozens of special programs like concerts and lectures, story time for kids, and seminars on computer skills and estate planning?
Uh-huh.
Well, Smarty Pants, is there anything about the Rojan Library you don't know?
Yeah, how do they get all that great stuff done with just 3 employees?
It's all about the volunteers. The library depends on volunteers for everything from working the circulation desk to staffing special events. They can always use more help.
Sounds like fun. How can I become a volunteer?
Just go to the library's website at rojanlibrary.org and click on the volunteer tab.
Hey, I knew that.
Sure you did.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Green, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Catherine A. Lady of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
In Togo and Deutsche Bank, FBI and Scotland Yard. In Togo and Deutsche Bank, FBI and Scotland Yard.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Singularity radio program, broadcasting live from the Svalbard seed vaults in Norway, watching the world disintegrate around us by way of the remote networking components located at 65 West Bridge Street in the heart of Catskill. We are here to answer any science or technology related questions you may have. Contact us at CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com or directly in one-way communication at www.thingularity.tech. That is thingularity.tech. And now we're going to say hi to the Catskill Makers members that are here tonight. Everybody, how are we doing?
Very good.
I'm good.
Cody here.
I was expecting everyone to do it in order for some reason.
Yeah, what order exactly? There's no left. There's no right. Up is down.
Nah, I know.
Down is up.
No. There's a top. There's a top to bottom.
Oh, that's true.
I'm doing good.
Oh yeah, there's a list here. Yeah.
Don't just mind me. I'm just in the background doing the ditty, pushing the buttons, making it all happen.
Yeah, Joe's making it happen.
From the top, we got Ben.
Hey, yeah.
Ben. Hey, how's it going?
where are you reporting in from?
Brian, buddy, you got to watch that audio input.
Yeah.
Can you mute yourself when you're not? Yeah, cool. Thanks, boss. All right, Ben, how you doing? Ben, are you there? Cody, what's up with you?
Figured yourself.
Oh, there he is.
Not too much.
Me and Ben are both holding down our respective forts here in Catskill.
I've spent
lots of time at the studio, the 65 West Bridge Street that you mentioned.
Cool. All right, I'm going to get back to you guys. Cause
Cody, how many masks have you printed, or what did you print?
Okay, we're going to get to you right now, then.
Wow, okay. I guess we're just going to jump right into it.
Yeah, let's do this. What's going on?
I've been printing a lot of personal protective equipment for healthcare workers. And I joined in earnest about 3 weeks ago and ramped up production.
So, and you're part of a co-op, I hear?
Well, the ones who are the point of contact with Columbia Memorial Hospital, that's Purpose Cooperative. They're from Philmont. They operate out of Philmont. There's a makerspace out there. And, so I just add our efforts to the collective. Our machines.
Awesome.
So far, the Maker Syndicate has contributed to, some sort of part to 200 or more headbands. And in total, the entire collective has delivered 500 or thereabouts.
All right.
Damn, I didn't even know it was that high. I thought you guys were in the dozens, not hundreds. Holy.
Oh, very good.
Crunk.
Yeah. Good job, man. Keep it going.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now cool. I understand why you're eating through all our spare filament.
Spare? We didn't have any spare until Brian sent $300 worth to my house.
And to anybody listening, we are taking donations. We will put that to good use. If anybody wants to contact us, they can do so at catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com. Ben, how have you and yours professionally been dealing with this COVID situation when everybody's sitting at home?
Reasonably well. So we have seen a fairly large spike in traffic. I think we've almost doubled our traffic from March 1st as of today. We're pretty close to double what we were doing.
Nice. And basically nobody's running into any interruptions and caps are not being met?
No, I mean, nothing's gone down yet on my end. The speed test servers have taken a nosedive, and then some of the guys running the VPNs having a little trouble with all the traffic.
Okay.
People on your network who run through VPNs have trouble?
Yeah, I mean, we get a fair number of that. Usually we catch them because they're like, oh, it's terrible, the speed is awful for gigabit speed. And they're down to like 50 bips, and they're hardwired, and it's just running through like Nord or one of the other ones that they saw on TV that they thought would make their internet browsing secure.
It's a shame they're able to get all that bandwidth and just don't understand what they're doing with it.
But you see right through that VPN, and you can just see all those porn packets just piling up, I'm guessing.
Wow. Yeah, I bet they're not routing their DNS, are they?
Well, I thought half the point of having a VPN was to make sure that your ISP couldn't snoop on the data that you'd be providing. Is there I thought the network traffic is supposed to look just like a big basic binary blob. How are you guys able to see what's going on?
Did he get dumped again off the network?
In theory, you could. You could port mirror you, and then you could dump all the good stuff and then recreate it, but most likely no.
Okay, that's what I really wanted to hear. I'm assuming I heard that. Breaking up a little bit, but I think we get the idea. Brian, out there on the West Coast.
I don't know about Verizon, but...
they're dumping Ben right now.
Yes, because I believe he's connected through his DSL. And everybody else is mid-Hudson, except for Brian. Like I said, was just about to say, was on the West Coast. How are things out there with you?
Well, I've been seeing a lot of differences in the last, like, 3 days. People have been starting to get messy again here. You know, don't put on a mask in the store, maybe 1 out of 10 people. People congregating, feeling a little bit charged that we're not getting it so bad, but I don't know. Between the heat and people being too close, there's different factors going on where they might get hit hard here in California if they don't get smarter.
A lot of people are worrying about the second wave.
You're expecting another wave out there to see it.
Just looking at the way people behave, yeah, how they're just getting all loosey-goosey and, you know, running up on others and whatnot. But you never know. I mean, it might be fine, but people are acting like they're losing their heads a little bit. You can see the edge of it breaking.
It's the cabin fever.
Yes. But I don't know. A lot of people are, you know, distancing and doing their thing, but it doesn't take a lot of people to cause little outbreaks here and there. So, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting.
Interesting. That's a good word for it.
So, you almost ready to come back?
Well, just yesterday, we were at a... Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, what I'm waiting for, actually, is because I think I'm going on, like, 7 weeks of having this lung thing. The first 10 days in a big fever, haven't tested or anything, and the next 5 weeks of... 4.5 weeks, 5 weeks of every 3 to 5 days of having a coughing fits and going into it, and only today, after 8 weeks, have I actually felt my energy return. I don't know if it's COVID. I don't know what it is or was, but when I finally get an antibody test, I'll know what it was, or no, it wasn't COVID, but damn.
Won't that be nice?
Yeah.
If and when they finally become available.
Well, actually, I probably may be able to get one here because they said a lot of tests are rolling out in L.A., but the mayor of Los Angeles promised whatever, 6-8 million people live here, that everyone can get a test. Like, they put that in their budget because they're a baller city, that everybody can get a test, but they have to spool it out. You know, whoever feels symptoms, they're putting them on top of the list, but every day they're sending people to locations to get some tests done just to get the economy back going. I don't know if any other city has committed that, but I know we were talking about this a few weeks ago that Rockefeller Foundation recommended that we do a Manhattan Project, like $100 billion push, so everybody in America gets a test so we know who has it, who doesn't, and we have a fairly good idea. They dropped $15 million into that, and there was just crickets out of the hierarchy out of Washington, D.C., where a few days later they threw it back to the states to do all the testing. So it's not like we're having visionary leadership in this crisis, but they sure are taking advantage of it for autocratic moves and whatnot, but not in actually solving it in a scientific way, despite claiming so.
Oh, so much for unmatched wisdom and supreme authority, I suppose.
I'm sorry.
Please go ahead.
I was talking to a friend today that she says she's able to get an antibody test, but, you know, we were discussing, like, how accurate is it, and, you know, so she gets to have one because she was sick a couple of months ago and in New York City and stuff. So I guess they're available around here.
They're so available that people can make them themselves.
Yeah. Well, Greene County was waiting for 1,000 to arrive for like a month, and they finally got a hold of some, and I think some are spooling into the health people there, but, you know, it's still limited. And what Cody was referring to, yeah. Tell that story, Cody, the do-yourself out of Oregon.
Oh, I was hoping somebody else would pick it up.
Okay, some dude was working for, he was like a lab worker back in the day. He's in Oregon. He wanted to test him and some of his friends, but there were nothing available because we live in a third world country. So he found protein markers straight out of China.
Spike proteins.
So they're the ones to identify this particular virus. And I think he got some pharmacist or a friend or somebody to foot a couple thousand dollars, and they got some tests, tested himself and some friends. He basically the first research study in the state of Oregon was some dude. A few days later, the place he used to work, some dude, the place he used to work for, the lab, they did a test of 1,000 people, but he literally beat everyone else in the state of Oregon for doing research on coronavirus testing. A dude. Anyway, what he found out was he was heavy with the antibodies, and he remembered being somewhat sick in the third week of December, right after a Chinese exchange student had stayed with them. So he may well have been one of the very first cases that we just discovered. We rolled back the first case another 4 to 5 weeks as of this week, because some dude did his own home testing because he knows how to work the equipment. Legit science, yeah. He borrowed all that equipment from a university, and he ran it.
Yeah, put it in special tubes, letting the blood clot for 45 minutes, and then centrifuging it for 10 minutes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then he siphoned off the goo.
Did it himself and proved he may be one of the first infected people in America by 4 weeks. Damn.
It's to say first.
This is also one of the first.
Well, the reason we're saying may and possibly a lot is because this isn't exactly scientific. It's a one-off instance of one set of results, and they could have easily been off.
Well, I'm guessing he had the more accurate thing, so he's probably 90 to 99% positive, where there might be a 1% false positive on it. So he probably had a very good antibody test, but...
So it wasn't the guy himself, but it was the guy who fronted the money, the former pharmacist who fronted the money for the testing supplies, who tested the highest.
I'm not sure. He was the one who tested highest. Wow, was... wow. But that was mid-December. He had coronavirus in Oregon. So we're just finding out science after the fact. I mean, people are arguing, oh, we're overcounting deaths, we're undercounting deaths, and they feed their conspiracy theories that way. But you only know months or years afterwards, and, you know, even a century or three centuries after various plagues, people don't know the exact numbers. But you get within the ballpark, and this looks potentially serious. If everyone on Earth caught it, there would be maybe 20 to 78 million people dead from it. 0.3 to 1%. So, yeah. What do you do?
You test. You test, 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 and then you test some more, and then you start issuing little gold stickers to everybody so that they know who's safe to be walking around. Oh, wait, I think
a round
we tried that
sticker
at once.
Or a six-pointed sticker?
I might want to be careful what shape it comes in.
Well, you make it six-pointed, and then you put the RFID tag right in the middle, and then you put 666 across the front so everybody knows exactly what's up.
You just forgot the barcode. You pants on fire, don't you?
It's all implants now.
Now
it's all
a QR
like thumb
code,
implants.
So it can be matched with your facial recognition by all the cameras.
The thumb implant costs extra.
And don't forget that eventually they will get the upgrade of having the up and down vote, so that strangers that you encounter can basically rate you, so others can be aware of what kind of personality you have. What a lovely world we are creeping into.
When you get the implant, you can get through security faster, though, right?
Yeah.
Dude, always going to be a benefit.
Has anybody heard anything new on the Google, Apple were pushing, which is the using private
data?
Key, whatever, to do anonymous contact tracing?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be real anonymous.
Anonymous-ish. But, I mean... Nobody's grabbing on any of the... Is any of these things happening other than...
Okay, first of all, in general, it's not even, like, needed because Apple and Google are already putting... All right, Brian, you got to mute yourself.
True, they're already...
With me, man.
Yeah.
Okay, Apple and Google are already putting out statistics showing that, like, okay, during the beginning of the COVID war crisis, a lot of people really did lock down and stay home and keep themselves. But as time is rolling on, they're still releasing numbers showing that people are starting to leave their homes again. Their little GPSs and their phones are reporting back to Apple and letting everybody know exactly where they're running to, when they run to the grocery store, when they run to their friend's house. I'm not even sure that implementing contact tracing is going to even happen.
Not needed. They're already tracking us.
Yeah, and when it is available, a lot of people are going to reject it because they don't like the government crawling up their rectum.
People really won't like the idea that all along Google and Apple were saving all that GPS data, all the paths you took into their data centers, and analyzing that.
Yeah,
all this. Not like to hear that.
All the stuff they're already worried about is already being done. So take your phone and smash it into a million pieces if you don't want to be tracked. If you don't mind giving up a whole bunch of data about yourself, then turn it on and by all means, keep it in your pocket. I mean, nobody's going to stop doing that because it's a safety thing, right? They're trading their privacy and their freedoms for safety. This is something that Benjamin Franklin warned us about. But that's okay.
So unless you're like the Sith Lord here and you install Plasma Mobile on your phones, you're getting tracked.
Oh yeah, it's going to be nice. When everybody, at least the nerds, finally have our own Linux phones running that we know what's going on.
Sort of.
Yeah, the only downside is the current phone I have has issues with the dialer hardware, so I can't really make phone calls, but... I don't really use the phone for phone calls, so it's not
there's
too
probably
bad.
A program you could use over terminal. You could open a terminal and then make
yeah,
the phone
yeah,
dial
no, I think I can directly use Ofono to do it, but there might be a problem with the hardware layer too. I'm not exactly sure.
Wait, what phone do you have, Chris?
Have
is this the new free phone? The
No, I still have the Nexus 5Xs.
Oh, okay. They haven't released that Librem thing or that?
I don't know. I've been told by the other Plasma Mobile developers that if I want to make phone calls, I should get a Pine phone, which I'm kind of tempted to do because they're not terribly expensive.
Pine phone? Is that made by the people who made that Raspberry Pi clone? The Pine?
They make like the Pine books. And a tablet. They're like mid-level hardware for like open source people. So they're usually fairly cheap, but they aren't always like the best hardware quality. Because they're for like, you know, development usually.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Open source phone alternatives. You heard it here, folks.
Great.
Open source everything.
All right, what's next?
Cody, would you like to take it for the bio break now?
Speaking of phones. it's too early for bio breaking.
No,
is
we're going to
do absolutely too early.
We're going to throw the bio break in now, then we're going to take the break, and then when we come back, we're going to do the 5G talk down on the back end of the show.
Oh, okay. Well, today's biobreak is a different tone. It's not going to be doom and gloom. And it's going to be about something you can do at home.
Oh, so you're actually trying to be a little bit uplifting for everybody that's trapped in their cells? I mean, homes?
Yeah. I'm tired of talking about viruses and, you know, self-assembling machines and virus-like particles.
Awesome! Take it away!
All right. If you don't know what this is, it's called fermentation. You can do it at home, and generally, it tastes very good when it's done right.
Unless it's kombucha.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of ideas out there about what fermentation is. And I'm sorry to break it to people, but kombucha is not fermentation. That's rot. Okay?
What's the difference?
Well, let me ask you this. Who among you would go to a grocery store, pick a swollen metal can off the shelf, or choose the glass jar with a pop dome on the lid, or grab moldy produce from the display case?
Well, those are going to be affected by bacteria like botulism.
No one, right? Would you choose them?
No.
Okay. No, nope. I threw away burritos yesterday because the plastic packaging was expanded, and yeah.
Yeah, and now it's a clear sign of biological activity occurring. That's rot. But it's also, like, close to what you could describe as fermentation. Is there something different going on there?
Yeah. I mean, if anybody tells you to just scrape the mold off or just remove any other, like, offensive substance like maggots from a thing you were culturing on your countertop as if it were a petri dish, then report them to the FPs. That's the fermentation police.
Dude.
All right? They don't know anything about fermentation science, or they're working towards ensuring you get permanently injured.
But what if it tastes good?
It doesn't. It doesn't taste good. It tastes horrible.
Yeah, I mean, somebody tells you
it's the worst thing
good.
I ever drank in my life.
It's like,
oh,
we're
back on kombucha.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, what else are we going to talk about?
The circle is now complete.
The rotten stuff on the shelf? No.
I mean, is the 0.1% alcohol to, like, maybe try to mitigate that? Because it's really bad. It's really bad.
Well, alcohol actually, it shuts down cellular processes. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not interested in...
Okay, we've taken up too much time with that stinky tea. What were you trying to get at in the first place?
I'm trying to get at fermentation does not include kombucha plug of mucus that has no nutritional value whatsoever. It starts out with live foods in a specially made vessel. And you need some equipment. That's almost like lab equipment.
You mean is lab equipment?
Yeah, kind of.
For all intents and purposes, it's got to be sterile in the first place, right?
Yeah, you got to have it cleaned. Probably with hydrogen peroxide. It needs to be lead-free, made of lead-free glass.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah, because this is an acidic process, so if you start fermenting, it's going to leach lead. If you don't have that special kind of glass.
Ooh, fine.
Or ceramic. They used to do it with ceramic, too. So you might be able to find ceramic ones. But it's live food. You gotta put it in an airlock. If you get that certain kind of glass. And you can do it with... Let's see. You got, like, carrots. Friggin' asparagus. Cucumbers. That's your pickle. That's what you normally think of. You need brine. So, and when you make your brine, you want your salty water. Not potassium iodide. Don't use iodized salt. Use sea salt. Or Himalayan salt. Whatever floats your boat. Alright, y'all. That's my bio break. It's something you can do at home with your garden. Your personal garden.
I'm just going to add a tiny addendum to this bio break by adding a recipe I can recall for sauerkraut. What you do is,
you take
a bunch of fresh sliced cabbage. Okay, you wash your cabbage just like you normally would. You slice it up into shreds, get it nice and small the way you would want your sauerkraut to end up. And here's the deal: cabbage 99.9% of the time comes with lactobacillus already on its leaves, so it's ready to start fermenting from the get-go. You take that whole bit of shredded cabbage, get, like, you know, 4 or 5 cups worth of it, stick it in a tall container, something that's, like, you know, maybe a foot tall and a couple inches wide would work fine. Stick it in there, spread the salt on top, make sure it gets mixed in there. The salt helps limit what else gets in there and can grow, and it helps limit the growing to only the lactobacillus. And you place like a cup of water, something with weight, on top of this mix.
They
also just
make
the
glass weights. They make glass weights so you can do that too.
Perfect. I would assume a cup full of water would work fine too. But anyway, you stick it on top, salt, and cabbage. That's it. The water will start to squeeze out of the cabbage all on its own. You don't have to add any yourself. The glass will, or whatever container you're using, will start to magically fill with water. That's all just being squeezed out of the cabbage. That mixes with the salt. The yeast starts swimming around in that water, digesting and fermenting the cabbage. And after a while, eventually, that mix just becomes sauerkraut. Ready to go. And that is my sauerkraut recipe for the bio break.
Yum. Thank you.
Wow. That was good.
I'm glad we got some contribution from the other members. I love it.
Okay. We are all going to take a quick break. You are listening to 90.7 FM WGXE Acra Radio for WGXE. Yeah. Shout it out loud and turn it up. All right. We're going to take our quick break and we will be back. Back on the Thingularity radio program, broadcasting from the four corners of the earth via the interwebs at the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And we've been discussing some things in the break. Did anybody want to bring up any of that yeasty topic?
No.
That's all right. You can do everything fermentation with just organisms that live in and on the produce themselves. It's all fine. The brine keeps the pathogens down.
Cool beans. Okay. Now, I guess it is time for us to try the magic new introductory segment of
deconstruction.
Deconstruction. We're all going to listen to a clip, and then we're going to talk about that clip. And tonight we have five short clips that were all taken from a 5G paranoia video that's been spreading around the internet. Jill, do you have any information? You sourced this video for us.
I sourced it. It's ending up in people's inboxes. I mean, people are sharing a lot of what some would consider conspiracy stuff related to the virus, and some of it's 5G, some of it's other subjects, and it kind of, you know, it's just ubiquitous right now. And
urgent wake-up call.
I think it's topical.
It's fear porn.
Yeah. It's some sounds like more crazier than others, you know. So,
okay, well, I have a couple clips that I cut out of it. It's not in its entirety because I didn't want to bore people to death or really inflict this kind of crap on people. So let's play the first part now. If we could have the class remain quiet, please.
Urgent wake-up call. 5G means danger for life and physical condition.
Today we broadcast an urgent wake-up call. These are the major dangers of 5G.
Whoever believes that the step up from 4G to 5G is just a next step, comparable with the step up from 3G to 4G, succumbs to a huge error. Because 5G means a gigantic quantum leap, and is the most serious intervention mankind has ever made in nature in the entire history of humanity.
Okay, that was number one.
I like how it starts with the thunder roll to, you know,
explain the gravity of the situation.
Yes, there's a lot. Okay, if you listen to the entire thing, there are a lot of tactics that are implemented to make sure you think what's going on sounds negative, and that includes like the thunder rolling and, well, quite frankly, a whole lot of implications that just aren't scientifically founded.
Like how 5G is the greatest intervention that humanity's ever made on nature.
Yeah, I would highly doubt that claim.
Wait a minute, have you heard of plutonium?
what about slush and burn forestry? What about carbon emissions coming from cars and
plastic?
Agricultural
revolution.
Make it possible.
Making farms. That destroys biodiversity. So.
What about fishing? We love to fish until things go extinct. But no. Radio waves are screwing things up.
I mean, there is a danger to them, but I think it's being overblown. Immensely. Like, way out of scale.
Yeah, the only thing I've heard that sounds remotely plausible was like, maybe it affects the bees.
Oh, don't worry.
Isaac gets that.
There's some touches of truth in here. And that's what makes it, you know, generally believable to anybody that doesn't know the gaps that they're trying to fill in. For radio, I'll move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, sure.
Did anybody else take issue to how she said succumb?
Yes, succumb.
Oh,
yeah, I forgot. Succumb.
Succumb. Yeah, I was just going to succumb to her pronunciation.
Well, we're going to assume that she doesn't have a dog in the fight. She's a paid professional just there to talk and missed that day in fifth grade. Who knows?
The emphasis was on the wrong syllable.
Okay. All right. Quiet, everybody.
Whoever believes that the step up from 4G to 5G is just a next step, comparable with the step up from 3G to 4G, succumbs to a huge error. Because 5G means a gigantic quantum leap, and is the most serious intervention mankind has ever made. Tom Wheeler, ex-president of the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, gets right to the point. Hundreds of billions of microchips attached to products, from pill bottles to lawn sprinklers. We must forget the idea that the 5G future will only be for urban regions. The 5G revolution will affect every corner of our country. What can be connected will be connected. Likewise, also the PC, microphone, and computer camera are supposed to be connected, and through this, a total surveillance system has gained access to our houses. The 5G network can see through walls and houses, leading to digital control of every person.
Also, doesn't 5G make pancakes and fondle your moles?
Wait, no, it can see me, so therefore it can control me.
This is so disconnected and non-scientific.
Well, guys, it's not that powerful.
Reach through the internet and choke somebody. God.
No, not the internet, specifically 5G. Because you're already hooked up to the internet.
Let's start at the beginning.
Reach through the 5G.
Ben, is it true that this is a quantum? There's that word, quantum. Is it a quantum leap to go from 4G to 5G? What is 5G?
One day you'll find the leap home.
So 5G is basically whatever you want to call it. I mean, AT&T took their 4G LTE and called it 5G. And that was basically their 5G leap.
So it's not even really a new technology. It's just like the rebranding.
Pretty much.
No, okay. You know what? Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say we're talking about the actual leap to, what is this, 5 gigahertz on the radio spectrum? Is that what talking about? Then it's what does 5G that. Occupy?
G's for generation, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's a whole bevy of frequencies. I mean, T-Mobile's the 900 megahertz, and then you have the much higher ones that Verizon is doing on the microcells. So it's a whole bunch of different frequencies that could potentially be 5G. There isn't one frequency that's 5G.
So really, when they say that it can see through walls, that's really not necessarily true. It's dependent entirely on the technology that's deployed.
You have a camera pointing at you.
Oh, yeah. On that point, whatever you guys are worried about or might think of as a problem with the government seeing you, they can already without a problem. One, they can hack your webcam. Assuming they can't do that, or they can't get into any of the other IoT devices that all of you people are willfully filling your homes with, they could walk up to your house on the street using advanced radar devices, and they can image everything through your walls and see what's going on. Not only can they use radar guns to do this, they can also do it using current Wi-Fi. So if you have a router in your home giving Wi-Fi to your phone, theoretically, any government technician could come to the outside of your house, collect all those waves and spectra coming out of your house, and image the physical movements of everything inside of it. These are already in place. So if you're worried about it already, move to a private island.
Also, you carry a mobile tracking device with you if you have a cell phone.
So basically, this 5G fear porn is word souping everything that is real and trying to blame it on 5G and spiking up silliness.
Oh, you want to talk about silliness? Let's move on to the next clip. Let's do this one. One moment, everybody.
Just how dangerous 5G technology can be became apparent at the end of October 2018 in The Hague, Holland. During a 5G test, at least 298 healthy birds fell dead from the sky. Eyewitnesses also reported that ducks behaved strangely, constantly trying to hold their heads below the water.
Okay, thoughts?
Yeah, I walked by a 5G antenna yesterday and all the hair got burned clean off my scrotum. So I'm going to say that's true.
Did all those birds drop dead at once?
Okay.
Radar can do that. You turn
that
on,
happen.
If you turn on a radio, a radar thing, early radar dudes would do that. They would cook birds on the dishes, but, you know, that was for idiots doing fun stuff. It doesn't just happen.
No, they actually, well, any modern day radar mast like that is not capable of cooking a chicken. Like back in the day, like the crazy
back
stuff
in the
they
day,
did in the lab, maybe.
Well, but, in the 40s when they had that, you know, when they were playing with early shit, 50s.
And that's heat
thanks
testing.
To radar.
Right.
So did this event happen is my first question.
No, it did not. This
no,
was
it did not.
A collection of things that were gathered on Facebook and then assembled into an article in basically like a National Enquirer type tabloid. And then people picked up on that like it was something real and ran with it. 5G has never been known to kill anything.
Well, maybe the ducks listen to this video and then we're holding their heads under the water.
Well, if I were them, that's
what I
would do.
Water and eat things under the water, so...
I'm surprised our heads haven't exploded yet.
Well, I don't know. I get a tingly sensation every time I turn on the microwave.
I mean,
is that my pacemaker?
There already have been tests for just cell phones and the RF they put out, and basically if you have only a couple of bars on it, then your transmitter's cranking up the power, so you get up to 4 times the RF into your ear in those conditions, and they know that, but what that actually does, nobody knows.
Well, it makes your battery die faster is what it does.
Yeah, and it pumps,
tell when,
and it pumps some gigahertz into your head. Yeah, so, you know, there's that, but that's been a danger with cell phones forever, down to 1G. You know, don't it stick it up on your head and talk for 5 hours a day.
Hey, we got a couple decades of good data now based on that stuff, and nobody's head's melting. Nobody's growing giant tumors on that side of the head they're using
the
phone.
If anything,
so.
It's got to be safer than those old, like, what were they, like 10-watt transmitters in the car phones?
Yeah.
Car phones, because you should be able to use your phone while you're on the move.
That's when it wasn't a distraction.
Hey, look, police get special dispensation for it, so they must be able to do it just fine. I wonder why nobody else seems to be able to handle the distraction.
Do you guys have another clip?
Yep, we have one last clip if everybody's ready.
Sure.
Okay, silence.
This exponential increase of forced irradiation of the entire population is an irresponsible experiment on human health. Already in 2011, the World Health Organization classified mobile communications in Category 2B of cancer-causing substances, thus as potentially carcinogenic. Based on recent scientific studies, reputable scientists are demanding its classification in Category 1, namely as cancer-causing.
My first question needed. Is this one.
Yeah, right? Like... First of all, who is a reputable scientist? And one or two scientists don't ever count for anything, ever.
Wait, but my first question is, do we or don't we trust the WHO conspiracy people?
Which conspiracy? Which one?
Oh, are they not the same? Or are they just general conspiracy people?
You brought it up. Please elaborate.
Well, they're citing that the WHO is saying that 5G is bad. Because it causes cancer or something, they
said.
But
it's generally the same people who believe that the WHO conspires to control the health of the entire world population.
And they didn't say it's bad. They didn't say that they found it to cause cancer. They said that it might potentially cause cancer. And, okay, leaving it up in the air is better than saying, I guess, firmly that it doesn't. Because maybe there are experiments that could possibly show it does. But as far as I am aware, the only experiments ever that actually took place by a reputable scientific community or institution worked on rats, and it only generated tumors in some tissue in the hearts of some male rats and not in any of the females. And the occurrence in the study was so low that it could have been just a statistical anomaly. Those rats were all going to get heart cancer anyway.
I mean, we could probably check this. You know, if we look over the last, like, 10 or so years, have the cases for certain kinds of cancers spiked, you know, by people who are on their cell phone all the time?
No, they haven't. I'm pretty sure those studies have all been conducted and they show nothing.
I think the cases of them getting run over by trains have spiked, though.
Yeah,
and falling off
roads.
high places.
Falling into manhole covers.
There's a place you can go to get away from all the Wi-Fi signals and all that stuff. There's a place in, what is it, West Virginia? I believe.
There's a couple places. They're isolated for radio astronomy. So none of the areas around the telescopes are allowed to have any sort of... radio wave interference. So obviously there's no phones, there is no Wi-Fi, there is no Wi-Fi in a laptop. Everything has to be hardwired.
No,
everything has
overhead
to have extra chokes. You have to take your microwave and you have to put it inside of a Faraday cage. It is a Faraday cage already. You have to put it inside another one and then another one just so that you can heat up a hot pocket in this region.
And if, yeah, you can go there.
There are communities. People that believe they are radio frequency sensitive move out there and they get this great big placebo effect letting them live their lives out. It's nice.
And if they're happy with it, great.
Do we have any last comments for the 5G nonsense?
Yeah, don't talk on the phone for 10 hours a day.
Great idea. Joe, if you get a tingly feeling when you use your microwave, maybe drink some water. You can change your concentration of salt to water ratio.
And that helps me how?
Radiation and water generally are... Like, water helps block a lot of radiation, if I'm not mistaken.
It totally does.
Cody?
Yes.
The microwave operates at a frequency which specifically vibrates water molecules.
Water, wax, some plastics.
So you're saying if he has more water, he'll feel less tingly?
Well, he should just try changing the concentration. I guess he could eat more salt. He could eat salt, but that's kind of unpleasant.
Okay.
Should I talk about the the spoofing thing?
Yeah, why not?
Did you want me
to? Thing to go out with.
Okay, great. Let's see. The Greene County Sheriff's Office recently handled a larceny case regarding a subject impersonating a deputy. The call came from a number associated with the sheriff's office, a spoofed number. The sheriff's office will never demand bank information or money in the form of gift cards over the phone for payments towards anything. Of course. Please do not give any personal information out over the phone unless you're 100% sure who you are talking to, and be very mindful about scams involving gift cards. So somebody was spoofing the Greene County Sheriff's Office phone number.
And they were calling asking people for gift cards?
Yep.
Yes.
A lot of scammers will call and ask for either a gift card or for you to wire money to them through, say, Western Union, or send them a money order.
Then people don't think it's strange that the police are calling them saying, hey, I'll take care of this fine. We need an Amazon card from you.
Yes, well, hey, that's exactly what they do.
See, honor and obedience culture has its limitations.
We have a warrant out for your arrest. And, you know, you could just pay the fine. That's a common one.
I've seen in actual court in this town, judges say to people specifically, this is your fine, and we want cash, and we want it from you now. Get it now, or within this very tight time frame, or we're going to double fines against you. So using money as a threat against citizens is very, very common.
Because they do it anyways, for real.
Exactly. So this is very believable.
No one finds it strange they're not saying money, they're saying gift cards. Because that's the part I would immediately find unusual.
That's the clincher.
Hey, right? This is 2020. We're in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis. Nobody wants to deal with cash. So maybe jumping to gift cards or credit card payments might be the way to pay fines now. I don't necessarily blame the people that might succumb to this, but one thing that's definitely never going to happen is the cops are never... ever going to directly ask you for money unless it's for two reasons. One, they're asking for a bribe, or two, they want you to pay for the policeman's ball. That's it. If otherwise, money is collected by the court system. Am I wrong?
You're anybody? Probably right.
You are correct, sir.
Okay.
But again, they weren't asking for money, they were asking for gift cards. So that's
gift cards or money.
Okay.
Gift cards, a can of soup, half a box of chicklets, whatever you got. Yeah. You're fine for you, sir.
What you got in your pocket,
there,
buddy?
You got rolls of toilet paper? We're accepting those now.
Yeah, we're calling it butt coin.
You know, you can you can grab those things unloaded and walk out the gas station with them, and then activate them later.
Butt coins?
No, gift cards.
Gift cards.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
So, what are you telling people? Like, they can just walk into the store and take gift cards, and that's okay?
I mean, they're not loaded up with money. You haven't paid anyone for it, but it's useless to you until you load it up and the cashier activates it.
Yeah.
But you can take it and activate it later. I don't see why not.
Okay. Corey, did you happen to have this month in history?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. So, May 1st, 1884, construction on the first skyscraper, the 10-story Home Insurance Company of New York, began in Chicago. 1899, Bayer introduced powdered aspirin in Germany. 1924, iodized table salt first went on sale in the U.S. 1964, the first basic program invented at Dartmouth University was run on a computer at about 4 a.m.
No, basic!
I just want to do a callback to my first bio break. Iodized salt was sold prior to that date because that was just the date where they started refining it, then adding it back in.
Yeah, I kind of have to, like, you know, trim it down, you know.
Go ahead, please.
May 2nd, 1775, Ben Franklin completed the first scientific study of the Gulf Stream, begun in 1769 after he noticed it took two ships 2 weeks longer to travel from England than to return. May 5th, 1881, Louis Pasteur successfully tested anthrax inoculations on livestock. 1925, after the ACLU promised to provide legal support to anyone who challenged a new Tennessee law against teaching evolution in public school, a meeting in Dayton chose teacher John T. Scopes to make this test. May 6, 1937, as it began its landing, the Hindenburg burst into flames, crashing half a minute after the first... May 7, 1980, at the World Health Assembly, the world was declared free of smallpox, other than the two high-security locations containing samples in the U.S. and Russia.
I would just like to make a small addition to that Hindenburg tragedy.
Yeah.
Is it really a tragedy when you take a vessel, fill it with hydrogen, and then basically coat it with roofing tar and kerosene, and then wonder why it explodes? Please continue.
Tragedy or inevitability.
Right?
May 9th, 1960, 7 years after Margaret Sanger gave Dr. Pincus $150,000 to continue researching, the FDA approved the birth control pill. May 10th, 1975, the Sony Betamax, the first home VHS video cassette recorder, went on sale. Despite JVC's conquest of the market by the 80s, Sony didn't cease production on Beta until 2002.
Awesome. Beta!
Yeah,
the memory.
First one I ever used. May 11th, 1811, Chang and Ying, the original Siamese twins, were born of Chinese parents in Siam, or as we now know it, Thailand. Let's see. 1936, efficiency experts August Dvorak and William D. Lee patented the Dvorak typewriter keyboard. 1941, Conrad Zuse completed his Z3 machine, the world's first fully functional programmable computer and the first to use binary. It was destroyed during World War II bombing raids. 1856, Charles Darwin began writing The Origin of the Species. Oh. 1796, using samples from sores of a cowpox-afflicted dairy maid, physician Edward Jenner administered the first smallpox vaccination to an 8-year-old boy. Crazy Several weeks Jenner. Later, he successfully tested this by inoculating the boy with a smallpox virus. Thankfully, he survived.
Thankfully.
His son didn't make it out through so well, though.
Yeah, I think I might have covered that in a previous month. May 17th, 42 years after the Scopes trial, the governor of Tennessee signed a repeal of the 1925 Butler Act that prohibited the teaching of evolution. May 18th, 1980, after a week of quakes and small ash smoke explosions, Mount St. Helens erupted in Washington State. May 19th, 1910, the most direct contact between Earth and a comet in recorded history occurred as the planet passed through the tail of Halley's Comet. Thanks to news several years prior that astronomers had detected the poisoning gas cyanogen in another comet, doomsday predictions were common, but there was no nigh the comet Edwardian edition to be had after the stellar encounter ended. We're almost out of time.
Okay. I just wanted to get one last thing as we're wrapping up. Anybody that has been bearing with us tonight, you get a reward. As you've been hanging out in your house, we're trying to help out some people that are listening to us, and we're also trying to help out some of the businesses that are in town. So if anybody sends an email to us at CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com, with mermaid in the subject line. You will be entered in a contest to be chosen randomly, and you will get a $20 gift card to the Mermaid Cafe in Catskill. And this contest will be going on all month, and we will select the winner and announce it on the next show. You have been listening to the Catskill Maker Syndicate in the biology department.